Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Wow, it's really one of those weeks, isn't it? I hope you had a great Labor Day, wherever you might be across America. We've got a lot going on here, and I will say this, one of the big issues, and it's coming up where you have Congress back in session, and of course, it's all about the budget, and the Republicans, and you know, this really, we shouldn't be all that surprised, but Kevin McCarthy is out there, and he is wanting to have some sort of an extension, just a short-term extension, so they can work things out. Look, these people have desk calendars. Every single lawmaker on Capitol Hill has a desk calendar. They know when the deadlines are to get the budget in. And every single year, we go through the same old rigmarole. Well, we are now about to engage in a political game of chicken. And folks, here's what's about to happen. The federal government is going to run out of money unless a funding bill is passed over the next couple of weeks. Right now, the House and Senate are in very different universes, and that is leading the Republicans in the House and the Senate to suggest some sort of a short-term spending bill. And I say absolutely not. I mean, how many times do we have to go down this path? How difficult is it for the Democrats and the Republicans to understand that we want a balanced budget? If we don't have the money, we don't need to be spending the money. I mean, it really is that simple. When you sit down with you and your wife or your husband and you're sitting down and you're going over the bills, you realize you have X number of dollars coming in, and therefore that will determine the amount of dollars going out. That's how it works. And if we can't pay the bills, then we don't buy it. If we want to go down to Bojangles for Sunday after church supper, but we don't have the money, well, guess what? You can't go to Bojangles. I mean, the United States is not Ukraine. We don't have a sugar daddy with unlimited resources sending over cash anytime somebody invades your country. So the American people are really getting frustrated with the Republicans up on Capitol Hill spending money like they're drunk Democrats. Now, the leadership, Kevin McCarthy, he will not come out and say this in public, but he's saying this in private. He says, look, guys, if we shut down the government, you know, they're going to blame us, and I might not be able to be speaker anymore. So we gotta get along with the Democrats. Come on, guys. Come on. Well, you know what? I got something to tell you about that. President Ronald Reagan shut down the federal government 6 times during his presidency. And not only did he get the blame, he accepted the blame. He wore it like a badge of honor. And he went on to become one of the greatest presidents in American history. So I hear Kevin McCarthy, I really like my office. I love being speaker. But I got to tell you something. We need leaders. We need leadership. And what I'm seeing coming out of McCarthy is a lot of talk, but no leadership. So McCarthy's wanting a bill that would keep the government operating at its current bloated funding levels until December. And they believe that's the time they would need to get all of this sorted out. Folks, again, how many times do we have to go down this path? Everybody knows when the deadlines are. They don't need more time. They knew the deadline. Now, the good news here is the House Freedom Caucus is taking a stand, and they're going to play hardball, and they're going to start calling our friends over at the House Freedom Caucus every name in the book, right? Oh, they're fundamentalists. They're right-wing extremists. They're holding the government hostage. Well, Congressman Chip Roy said, look, here's the deal. It's not going to happen. We're not going to go down this path unless we get some things very clear. And they say no short-term spending bills, nothing that does not include a border security bill, nothing that unless it includes something to address the weaponization of the FBI and the Justice Department. And I say good for the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Ralph Norman, the Republican from South Carolina, said, if a shutdown occurs, then so be it. And by the way, we're not the government, it shuts down. You're not even going to know the difference. I'm just telling you here, folks. You're not going to know the difference. So the issue here, though, is Speaker McCarthy, and he may have bigger problems because there are already rumblings about a motion to vacate the chair. And by the way, it's the only weapon the conservatives have to keep this guy in line. So the question is, should he cross that spending Rubicon, will Speaker McCarthy have a job? Now, just think about this. And I'm a Republican. I give money to the Republican Party. I've given money to Republican candidates. So there's nobody out there who could say Starnes is a Democrat or he's a closet rhino. I knew it. I knew it. I smelled it on him. No, that's Old Spice. So you can't call me or accuse me of not supporting the Republican Party. But I just want to say, when you look at the current crop of Republicans, they're all talk. We got a saying over in Texas, all hat, no cattle. That's the Republicans. Now, just think about this. They've held some great hearings. Nobody holds a hearing like the Republican Party. I mean, it's great stuff. You sit there, get yourself a big old bowl of Orville Redenbacher theater butter-style popcorn. You got a big old Baptist martini and my Phil Robertson, Uncle Si, Duck Dynasty, Tupperware glass. And you're sitting there and you're watching them. Man, what a great hearing. But you know what happens? Nothing. Nothing at all. They throw these great hearings. Nobody gets in trouble. Nobody gets arrested. Nobody gets charged with a crime. Nobody gets indicted. Nobody gets impeached, right? Alejandro Mayorkas, he still has a job. Over 300,000 people crossing the border. 300,000 people. Alejandro Mayorkas still has a job. So does Merrick Garland, the guy who weaponized the Justice Department. He still has a job. What about old Joe Biden, the leader of the crime syndicate, the godfather? He's still out there slurping ice cream, wandering all over the place, not knowing where he is. Not a single person in the Biden administration has been impeached. Nobody's been held accountable. Nobody. All talk, no action. That's the Republican motto under Speaker McCarthy. They truly are a do-nothing house. So I want to throw that out there because you're going to be hearing a lot of talk as everybody goes back to Washington after the Labor Day break, and they're going to be hollering and yammering in front of the cameras. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to get done. Nothing. And if that's the case, then Kevin McCarthy has to go. I mean, it really is that simple. If he's not going to do the job, Kevin McCarthy has to go. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Give us a call. 844-747-8868. That is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, we have a great show. Monica Crowley's going to be here back from her summer vacation to Greece. Also, we're going to be talking with our good buddy, Joe Kennedy, the football coach, made it back to the gridiron one last time over the weekend. We're going to tell you how all of that transpired as well. We'll be right back. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, well, thanks a lot, everybody. Watching last night, primetime, filling in for Eric Bolling on Newsmax. I'll be back hosting again this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern. I'll be hosting the Chris Salcedo Show, so we look forward to seeing you on television a little bit later on today. All right. By the way, before we go to the phones, a lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. President Biden, yesterday on Labor Day, announcing that he wants to bring about 500,000 migrants, foreign-born workers, to fill jobs here in America. Meanwhile, you literally have tens of millions of Americans who are out of the labor market entirely, and Biden is bringing in foreign-born workers. Yet again, another example of America last, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of illegals that are crossing the border. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's start today in Baltimore, Maryland. Barbara on the line. Hi, Barbara. How are you today?
Well, hi there, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good
to hear your voice again. You know, I am the Barbara that you took a picture with Connie in Mount Airy.
Is that right? Well, I do remember you, Barbara. Yes,
you
drove all the way down, and we had a lovely time, and we got a picture there. It was a great night of celebration in Mount Airy.
Absolutely, and I got to tell you, everything you said about Biscuitville is right. That biscuit shop is some place to go when you really want to just tie one on as far as every kind of biscuit in the world. I loved it.
Well, if you can tie one on with a biscuit, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I just, your question was whether or not Kevin McCarthy should go. In my opinion, Kevin McCarthy should have been gone. He should have been gone from the time that he started out doing nothing. And the only thing I could think when everything just kept going on and on, all these investigations, and as you say, all this talking. Now we know why it took 15 votes for him to get in. Everybody knew how weak he was. So now my question is, where are all the guys with the big pants on that were saying that he only had one thing to not do to fulfill his promise? And that they were going to call for a vote to put him out.
They call it vacating the chair, Barbara, and I think those guys are going to do it. And we're talking about the House Freedom Caucus. You've got Congressman Bob Good, Matt Gaetz. You've got Ralph Norman, Chip Roy. You've got Lauren Boebert. So there are enough Freedom Caucus members willing to go down that path that McCarthy could be in big trouble here, but. But again, it's all talk with this guy.
Well, I tell you what, if the rhinos will join the Democrats to keep him in there, and that's the signal for all of us to know that they should have never put him in to begin with, or we should have never put Kevin McCarthy in to begin with, because I don't believe that the Republicans are going to pull together, all of them, against them, because they need every single person. They can only lose one or two votes, right?
We have, yeah, right. I mean, it's so they've got the vote. So McCarthy has to have the Freedom Caucus votes, which is why, if you remember, that's why it took 15 votes, is because of the Freedom Caucus members. So
that's how it works.
That's how it works. So if they hold out, McCarthy's out of a job.
Well, great. Very good. Then that should be an easy cakewalk.
Well,
it does nothing.
It ought to be. And I think they've given him plenty of time. I just don't want us to be, you know, here we are January, February, elections right around the corner, 2024, and what have the House Republicans done? All they have done is hold hearings. That's it.
Absolutely. That's all they have done. And you know what? I'm just, this is my opinion, and I could be wrong, but had they gone forward with some of these, the impeachment, with the things that they said they were going to do, it would have stopped them from going after President Trump. So I'm beginning to wonder about the loyalty of the of those Republicans
that are in office now. Barbara, it's a fair question, and we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate you calling in. It was great seeing you. What a great lady. She was at an event somewhere in the South and heard that I was going to be speaking in North Carolina at a Salt and Light conference, and stuck around a few days, and we had a great visit, and back to Baltimore with our great affiliate there, WCBM. So, Barbara, thank you for that call. All right, let's go to Youngstown, Ohio. Art is listening to us today. Hi, Art. What's on your mind?
Well, I would like to counter what you and the lady have said about the Republicans and the Freedom Caucus ousting McCarthy. I think if the Freedom Caucus is unwilling to back McCarthy, I think there are going to be Democrats that are going to cross over, because if the Republicans and in both the House and the Senate have talked about temporary spending measures, okay, I think the Democrats, there are going to be some that are going to jump the fence, and they're going to say, let's keep McCarthy in there, because the fact of the matter is they're spending that money out of other people's checkbooks. And whether they have the money or don't have the money, it doesn't matter. They're going to write it out of other people's checkbooks, which is mine and yours and everybody else who pays taxes. So I don't put a lot of faith in McCarthy being bounced out, first of all. And second of all, I have no faith in the Republicans holding to their promise that they're not going to do short-term spending measures.
Well, I'm afraid you may be right there on at least one of those. Art, I would push back, though, on the Democrats. You know, they had the opportunity during the original fight for the speakership, and the Democrats, they held their powder dry. They kept the powder dry. So you think that if push comes to shove, they would give the A-OK for some of those Democrats to jump ship and save McCarthy?
Either that, or they're going to put this guy, what's his name, Hakeem Jarvis or whatever.
Hakeem Jeffries, yeah.
Yeah, they might put him into the speakership and do that with the help of the Republicans.
Art, when you step back, though, and actually look, and people don't like us to do this, but I'm all about results, all right? I hear we've had enough of these people on the show for over the years. I just want to see action, and I'm not seeing any action here, just a lot of hearings.
Well, no, the fact is, I'm with you. I think the Republicans have no spine. They talk a good fight, but the fact of the matter is, when push comes to shove, they're not going to have a backbone.
I
think that's been the big disappointment.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge disappointment. And again, these Republicans are not going to do anything that's going to help Donald Trump out. And honestly, to Barbara's call, They could have launched some of these investigations. They could have started the impeachment proceedings, especially with what we already know about Merrick Garland and the weaponization of the FBI and the Justice Department. Art, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Ella J, Georgia. Our good buddy Joe from Ella J. Joe, I know you want to weigh in on the economy. Somebody sent me a note over the weekend, enraged.
Yes, sir.
They went and got themselves some ribs, and it cost them almost $35 for a full rack of ribs.
Well, I tell you what, I was at Pooh's yesterday, and I tell you what, Todd, they are doing an incredible job, the people that took it over. And, I mean, it's 400 people there Sunday, so it's really become an incredible place. They have a lot of people from Atlanta coming and all around, and I think
all that to say, saying, this economy, Joe, it's costing an arm and a leg to go out and get some barbecue.
Yeah, you're right. But Todd, what I wanted to tell you is, you know, I'm all for Trump, as you know. Steve Moore is a good friend of mine, and he was on Fox yesterday. And when he got off, he called me and said, "Joe, spread the word on every talk show you can that Larry Kudlow and I are going to be running the economy when Trump's elected." Well, Todd, that is great news, because I think they'll give us a great economy and a great stock market. You know, Steve did the tax cuts when when he ran the economy.
Oh, that's
Trump
true. All right, hey Joe, we're running out of time. Joe, gotta run. Good hearing from you though. So a lot of Republicans out there, a lot of conservatives are saying, shut it down. So here's where we stand, and this is from Senator John Cornyn. So unless a funding bill is passed by September 30th, and there are only 16 legislative days between now and then, unless that happens, the federal government's going to shut down. Now, Cornyn is going to be one to side with the rhinos and the establishment Republicans. They want to work out some sort of a deal with the Democrats. Very simple question here, folks. Do you want the government to shut down? Yes or no? Shut it down or keep it open? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Before we go to the phones, I want to share this info from our good friend Greg Price, and a great guy and a great journalist. And he makes an interesting point. So last week, one of the J6 guys got sentenced. And I want you to hear these sentences, all right? So there's a guy named Joe Biggs, 17 years in prison for his involvement in what happened on J6. Ethan Nordine, 18 years in prison. Zachary Real, 15 years, all for nonviolent crimes. So these were the guys that were basically trespassing. So they walked in, and again, on this program, and this bears repeating, and I know you guys are a smart audience and an intelligent audience, and I know that you guys get frustrated and tired of me saying this, but I do this for the benefit of the oily-skinned, pimply, greasy-haired guys that Media Matters pays to monitor this program. And they're always waiting for us to slip up. And again, we have been pretty consistent here on this program. If you broke the law on J6, you deserve to pay whatever price you have to pay. But these sentences are outrageous because the same judge who sentenced Joe Biggs and Ethan Nordine and Zachary Real are the same judges who sent a man to prison. Now, get this. This guy shot a man 11 times as he was walking his kids to school. This guy got a plea deal, a 13-year sentence. So you've got a guy who shot and killed a father in front of his children. That guy goes to jail, to prison for 13 years. But these guys that basically trespassed at the U.S. Capitol on J6 are going to prison for 17 years. So the greater crime, the greater atrocity in Washington, D.C., is to trespass at the Capitol, not to shoot and kill a man in front of his own children. I just want you to understand what's going on. This is the weaponization of the government we're talking about here. And yet Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans are doing nothing about it except holding hearings. That is an aggravation. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Charles, WSIC in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, hope you had a great Labor Day
weekend. I did. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Todd, I tell you exactly what needs to happen with these Republicans who are doing nothing. I think Donald Trump needs to get involved, and I think he needs to come out and make a public statement either on Truth Social or wherever, and he needs to say this. He needs to say, hey, Republican colleagues in the House and the Senate, you do not need to pass a short-term spending resolution. Do not kick the can down the road. Do not fund the FBI. Do not fund the DOJ to go after not only me, but your voters. And I'm telling you right now that if you vote to kick the can down the road, don't expect my endorsement. Furthermore, if you abandon your voters like you're doing, we're going to abandon you. And the way we're going to do that is I want to encourage every person now who's ever donated to the Republican Party, do not send any more money. We're not giving you one penny until you start putting some points on the board and doing what you said you were going to do and protecting and standing up for the people who put you in office. That's what needs to happen.
Charles, it's a brilliant idea, and maybe I can piggyback on that idea. Maybe Donald Trump needs to sit down and work all this stuff out with the Republicans, and he can be given the credit by saying, hey, look, you know, we were at an impasse. We invited Donald Trump to help us sort it all out, and we've been able to present some sort of a deal or an agreement or something. I don't know. Maybe that's an option.
I think that would be great, and I think that would show great leadership, which is who Donald Trump is. He's a great leader, and he's the head of this party. And for too long, Todd, as you've mentioned so many times, the Republican Party has just let its voters down. And I'm sick of it. I mean, that's why I'm just so disgusted with them. And this doesn't surprise me. I knew Kevin McCarthy was going to do this. And I don't think anybody is really surprised. But no, the time is now to stand up. And otherwise, it's just going to get worse. And we'll be in the same boat again in 3 months, you know?
That's exactly the point, Charles, and you're right. The Republicans have let us down time and time again, which is why we needed to see some pretty quick action here to prove that they had learned their lesson. But clearly, they have not learned their lesson, and I really do hope that the House Freedom Caucus holds up their end of the bargain here, because they really are the last folks standing when it comes to elected lawmakers who are actually doing what they promised they were going to do. So, Charles, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Ernie on the line. Hi, Ernie. What say you?
Shut it down. That's it. They just keep dragging, kicking the can down the road. Shut it down. We won't miss them. Blue collar America will just keep on going.
It amazed me the last time the government shut down, Ernie. We did pretty good. I don't think we missed. I didn't miss a meal. Did you miss a meal, Ernie?
Didn't miss a beat. Went to work, didn't miss a meal, no big deal. They all get reimbursed the money that's held back from them anyways, a little bit that they do. Yep, just shut them down. I just called to say shut them down.
All right, Ernie, God bless you, and you keep fighting the good fight out there in Salem, Oregon. WUSA, that's the CBS affiliate in Washington, D.C. Jarrell Harris, age 28, of Washington, was accused of shooting and killing a man in broad daylight. Happened at 8:30 in the morning. Cedric Miller was walking his two children, and he was carrying his infant in a car seat, the five-year-old, and he also had a five-year-old. Officials say Harris shot Miller 11 times, 4 gunshot wounds to the face and neck. He died a short time later. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves and Robert Conte, the chief of the Metropolitan Police Department, said in a statement they agreed to a 10 to 13-year prison term, just so you don't think we're making all of this up. So they are harsher on the people that participated in J6 than they are actual murderers in Washington, D.C. Do you see what's going on here? This, again, is the weaponization of the federal government. All right, let's go to OG in North Carolina wants to weigh in on the budget. All right, OG, what say you? You've been around a long time.
Yes, yeah, sir, I have. I'm at the graveyard of the Atlantic. I've been 61 years in federal service across a whole bunch of agencies. But the thing I think you need to understand, the U.S. Coast Guard saves lives. And the support arm, the volunteer support arm for the U.S. Coast Guard is the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I've spent over 20 years in it, invested over $100,000 of my own effort into equipment and time and out every day and trying to do boater safety education, search and rescue, watch standing, everything. Because Coast Guard is short-staffed. We don't have enough people, don't have so many boaters. C-19 generated a 26% increase in accidents and fatalities. Because everyone wanted to max out the credit cards, refi the house, buy a boat, and they had no clue what they were doing. That's why it's the graveyard of the Atlantic. So the short-term budget resolution will keep the Coast Guard and the auxiliary in business. Ending it will generate more issues on the water, because we've seen way too many. I've taken too many body bags ashore, and I don't want to be taken anymore. Understood?
So you say we've got to figure out a way to keep the government up and running, even if they betray the promises they made to the voters.
just that term of government covers way too much. They need to keep the first responders up and running, like police departments, fire departments, Coast Guard, Coast Guard Auxiliary. All of those life-saving systems need to stay in place, because if they don't use it, they lose the skills. And that's really the bottom line. So they need to separate, you know, the fluff and the junk that that Congress has slipped in, you know, under the mat, and they need to make sure that the important items are safe. Anything with the military, especially first responders. Understood?
Oh, gee. Yeah, well, no, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I think I do disagree with you on this, because I believe the last time the government shut down, Coast Guard was still on the job. They just weren't getting paid. And then once the government reopened, they got their back pay. So it's not like they're just going to shut everything down as far as, you know, the military and whatever the Coast Guard is doing out there.
Well, Todd, they did shut the Coast Guard Auxiliary down 100%. We could not even walk onto a Coast Guard station. We were shut down. We were absolutely almost disenrolled.
Well, I hear what you're saying, OG, but again, we've been down this path before, and sooner or later, we're going to have to buckle our belts, and we're going to have to tighten the belts, and we're going to have to decide, are we going to live within our means as a nation? And if that means that people have to suffer in the interim, then people are going to have to suffer in the interim. As horrible as that may sound, we have got to take a stand. We can't just keep kicking the can down the road. And, OG, I appreciate you calling in here. To that point, Austin Police Department, have you heard this story? If you're the victim of a crime, don't call the Austin PD. The state capital of Texas now telling people that if you are a victim of a robbery, that you need to either call 311, which is the non-emergency number, or you've got to file a police report online. The Austin Police Association telling Fox News the department is facing a massive shortage of officers and they lack the resources they need to fight crime. And by the way, this is not just a problem that's unique to Austin. I mean, we're seeing this happen in other cities around the nation. And the problem here, and there's a common denominator in all of this. All of these cities are governed by Democrats. And these are Democrats who have been advancing policies like defund the police, get the police off the streets, and replace the police officers with counselors and psychologists. And it's not working. It's only making the crime problem worse. We have seen a mass exodus from law enforcement all over the place. So, again, elections have consequences. I just want to point that out to you. As we were talking, and again, I don't know about the auxiliary, and maybe they did tell the Coast Guard auxiliary, don't show up for work. But by and large, the Department of Homeland Security has to keep those folks up and running. So we'll keep, again, they're on the job, but they're not getting paid. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to be taking your calls right after this. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, our good friends over at Newsmax, they've got a national poll underway this month, and they want to hear your opinion. Do you still support Donald Trump? You can text right now, SKIP to 39747, and you can join the polling. That's SKIP to 39747 to let your voice be heard. Takes just a minute. We're going to share the results with Congress and on Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. You can text the word SKIP to 39747 and make the switch to Newsmax. And of course, you can watch me 4 o'clock Eastern as I fill in for Chris Salcedo all this week on Newsmax TV. All right, now let's go to James in New Bern, North Carolina. James, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, don't take no TV spot and quit being on the radio, man.
James, now why would you say such heresy, sir? I am shocked.
Well, Man, because you like being on TV, man. I watched you on Newsmax, man. I think you like it, man. But don't leave us hanging, man.
No. James, I'm a radio guy. True and true, radio is what I do. Oh, that rhymes.
I hear you.
Hey, Ben, put that on a T-shirt.
I heard that. I went and got my license the other day, and the lady asked me, do I want to remain a Republican? And I told her to put unaffiliated, because the Republicans don't do anything. I guess they go up there to enrich themselves, because they don't do anything to help anybody that I know, okay? I don't know what this Kevin McCarthy's doing. I wish he'd have never become Speaker. I'm glad they put up a fight and try to keep him from being Speaker, because he's doing the same old thing that they always do. Mitch McConnell, he don't even know where he's at.
It's true.
He's got drool hanging out of his mouth. Needs to be in a rest home somewhere. And they're all one party. They don't care about the American people. I live in Craven County. There's still 300 houses from Hurricane Florence that people can't move back into because they're damaged. And they send money to Ukraine. They send money to Mexico. Everybody walks across that border, gets something for free. And the people that were born here and lived here all their lives don't get anything from any, but called names. I'm deplorable. I'm irredeemable. I'm a white supremacist. And all I've ever done is work and take care of my family and taught my children right from wrong. None of these people care about us. You know, the only one, Donald Trump, the only president ever come to New Bern after a hurricane. And I've lived here all my life, and we've had hundreds of hurricanes. He's the only one that showed up, man. The only one. And what they're doing to him, tell you what we're going to do. If they try to put him in jail, we ought to do the same thing that the Black Lives Matter did. Go burn and loot, just like what they did, okay? Because I know people that are sick of this. They can't hardly stand it. And if you're waiting for the Republicans to do anything, you'll be there waiting the rest of your life. They'll never do anything.
James, I see it, and I hear it, and I feel it, and it's there's anger out there. But again, on this program, we believe in finding peaceful methods, and I understand people are aggravated, but we cannot adapt the tactics of the left. First of all, it never made any sense to me. Why would you to protest the man, you're going to burn down your neighborhood? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Never has. But I'm telling you, James, there are many, many other Americans that feel just like you do. And we see it. We see the checks being written to Ukraine while people in Maui, people in the Carolinas, people in the Big Bend of Florida are going without, and people are asking questions, and we've got to do that. James, appreciate that call. We've got to skedaddle here, but it does make you wonder what exactly Ukraine has on Joe Biden, right? Maybe they got some pictures of Biden and the daughter in the shower. I don't know. I do not know, but clearly, they've got the goods on Joe. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dana, we're seeing what is basically a one-man race for the Republican presidential nomination. Take a look here. Our brand new numbers in this poll conducted by SSRS among Republican and Republican-leaning voters. You have Donald Trump at 52% majority support. Ron DeSantis is next in line here, way back at 18%. Everyone else is in single digits. This is a one-man race. And look at where we had it in June. And you see the movement here. Donald Trump is getting stronger as a front runner. He is up 5 percentage points compared to where he was in June. And look at Ron DeSantis. He is slipping. He's down 8 percentage points from where he was in June. You see little margin of error movement except for Ramaswamy, who is also up 5 points since June, but is still in mid-single digits here. So right now you're seeing a Donald Trump-dominated race, and Donald Trump's getting stronger. Well,
and there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program, Hour 2 underway. That was CNN. That was not Fox News. That was not Newsmax. That was CNN acknowledging what we have all known for quite some time. By the way, Wall Street Journal, new polling data out over the weekend. President Trump leads the entire Republican primary field by 46 points. And DeSantis is dropping like a rock. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always great to have our friend Monica Crowley on with us, host of the Monica Crowley podcast, and back from what, quite frankly, was the entire summer spent in Greece, Monica Crowley?
Hi, Todd. It's great to be with you. No, although if you looked at my Instagram account, you might think so. So I'm one of those Instagram posters who saves photos. So rather than do one massive photo dump in one post, I actually drag out the number of photos from any individual event or trip so that you get sort of the goodness lasts a long time. So my Instagram account is at Monica Crowley underscore, and you can see a bunch of stuff up there, including a whole bunch of pictures from my time in Greece.
Well, it looked like you had a great vacation over there, just beautiful photos. And I'm glad you cleared that up because I'm like, man, that podcast must be doing really well, which it is.
No, but I was actually in Greece for about 8 days,
wow.
I think. But I have spread out the photos on my Instagram.
All right, you need to start a travel podcast, Monica. That's what you need to do next.
You know what? I would absolutely love that, Todd. I think I've sort of missed my calling because I should do an on-the-road kind of show, podcast, on or off camera, doesn't matter, because I love travel. I love climbing ancient ruins. I love eating great food around the world. So, yeah, I think maybe that's what I'll do.
Speaking of ancient ruins, the president and the first lady, Jill Biden, by the way, she's got the COVID now. He doesn't. That's what they're telling us. But Jill Biden now has COVID. The View, Whoopi Goldberg coming out and announcing she's got COVID today. I think we all know where this is heading again.
Yeah. You know, what's unbelievable is the first lady has already had COVID, and she has now had 4 needles in her arm with regard to the mRNA shots. So she got the first 2. I believe she got the Pfizer, the first 2 shots, and then she's had 2 boosters. And she previously had COVID, and now she here is, she is with COVID again. They say her symptoms are mild, but, you know, I've had a number of doctors on my podcast over the last, like, year and a half plus, now that we know more about the virus and the vaccines, and it looks like these shots could be immunosuppressive, meaning they're suppressing your body's natural immune system and your body's natural ability to fight things off like COVID, which is why the more shots you get, it looks like, according to new data that's coming out, the more susceptible you are to COVID, not less. So there's still a lot more to learn here, but I will say that the first lady getting COVID, other people, high-profile people like Whoopi getting COVID, you can see where this is headed, which is another wave of medical tyranny. But this time around, we are ready. We are ready with our whole arsenal of data and facts. And we're not going to comply this time. You know, if you are immunocompromised or you have an individual in your family who's sick or something, that's a different issue. You want to wear a mask, knock yourself out. But the mandates for vaccines and social distancing and lockdowns and masking and the rest of it, we are so done with that, Todd. We are never going back to that.
Yeah, no, never again. Absolutely not. Monica, I want to move along to the 2024 presidential race. I mean, these numbers are extraordinary. Even CNN, and we played a little bit of that audio just to start this hour with, Even CNN recognizes this is Donald Trump's race. I mean, nobody else is even close to the guy, and I don't see anybody making any ground.
No, no. And I think a lot of people who support a candidate other than Donald Trump, say a Governor DeSantis or a Vivek Ramaswamy, who had a pretty good night. They both had a good night on that first debate night. But I think a lot of supporters thought that one or more of them would have a breakthrough moment, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, they thought, well, we could give Donald Trump maybe a run for his money if we could pick up 5-10 points and show some momentum. And it just hasn't materialized. Number one, it's first of all, it's not because these people are not talented. These Republicans on stage are very talented. They've all been effective leaders in their own way. But it's one thing to be an effective governor of a big state, and it's something else to run for president. And then it's something else entirely to run for president against Donald Trump. And they are all finding that out right now. You know, the two key things here are that Donald Trump has already been president. So he's got an extraordinary record of his first term to run on: a booming economy, a secure border, and world peace. Very difficult to top that, even if you've been a phenomenal governor, as DeSantis has been. The other part of this is that he's been under assault by the deep state now for 8 years. It is a miracle he is still standing. But the fact that he has been under assault, under attack by these shadowy forces in our country, the American people want to stand up, fight for him, and protect him, and get him reelected. And that leads me to my third and final point, which I may have said on this show with you before, but it is a critical one. Donald Trump has something no other candidate has, and he was able to develop it organically. And that is, he's got an emotional bond with the American people. Not political, not intellectual, not ideological, emotional. And that is an unbreakable force, and it is something that no other Republican is going to be able to overcome. So in my mind, the Republican race is over, and now get out your popcorn, because the Democratic race is just about to begin.
It's going to be fascinating, and I want to get to that in just a second, but I want to go back to DeSantis, who I like. I think it's been a horribly run campaign. And I'm wondering, when they're doing the postmortem on the DeSantis campaign, what went wrong here, Monica? Because you're right, he's done a great job as governor, but I don't know, maybe his heart wasn't in it, or he had the wrong campaign staff. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
You know, in politics, in entertainment, any kind of profession that requires you to be in front of people, whether it's in person or on camera, in order to be successful at that level, you need the it factor. And the it factor is like this intangible thing, Todd. It's charisma, it's personality, it's a look. I mean, you don't have to be good looking necessarily, but you have to have a certain look that's appealing. I mean, there are all of these things that go into this X factor with people. And Ron DeSantis is very smart. He's Yale-educated. He's U.S. military. So on paper, he's an extraordinary leader, and he has been in practicality as well in Florida. I mean, he's really led that state into freedom through some very dark times and continues to do so. But when you're running a national campaign and you're running to be president of the United States, you need something else. You need that X factor, and I just don't see it in him. Is that fair? Is it just? No, of course not. But life ain't fair, as we all find out. Okay. So I think he's really sort of missing that extra force that would have carried him through to the next level. And it's really unfortunate. Now, a lot of people will say, well, after 8 years of Obama, 4 years of Donald Trump, 4 years of the catastrophe that is Joe Biden, most of the American people just want normal. Well, okay, but we're not in normal times.
True.
So I'm not quite sure that theory really flies.
All right, so let's talk Democrats here. I know Gavin Newsom is chomping at the bit. Monica, I'm not sure that the woke progressive party that the Democrats have now become, I'm not sure they're going to go for a white guy again. What say you?
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that working against Gavin Newsom? The fact is that he's the white male in the Democrat Party? Probably, yeah. Look, the Democrats have a really big problem because they've got to get rid of Joe Biden, which is why you're seeing more and more stories about his advanced senility and the bribery and all of the corruption. You're seeing more of those stories because the left's power brokers want you to see those stories. They want him gone. As I say on my podcast, the useful idiot has outlived his usefulness. So they got him on a banana peel. He probably doesn't know it yet, but it's true. And their other problem is Kamala, because they cannot run her. She is the most unpopular vice president in recent U.S. history. So they can't run her. She'll get creamed. So the alternatives, what are the alternatives? You mentioned the California governor. He definitely wants it. I'm not sure. The candidate that has scared me since 2020 is Michelle Obama.
Yep, that's it.
You and I have talked about this. I, you know, have said this repeatedly starting in March of 2021 at CPAC in front of thousands of people. When I said it, you could hear a pin drop. And I'm like, well, don't tackle the messenger, but, you know, don't point your ire at me. We have to be prepared for the worst case. To me, that is the worst case if they decide to run her. She could be the reluctant candidate and run and really run away with it. So let's all hope and pray that she does not get in this race. But she is a real alternative here. And then you have others. You have Gretchen Whitmer out of Michigan. You got some others that could take a stab at this. But the calendar is getting very short. The literal drop dead date for primaries is December 23rd. So Biden and the left have a couple of more months here to figure it out, get their acts together, and see what's going to happen. But it's going to be fascinating.
It is. And you're right. I think the Democrat side is going to be far more intriguing than what's happening on the Republicans. So, Monica, real quick, before we let you go, what's coming up on the Monica Crowley podcast?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Todd. Yeah, I've got some great guests coming up, including Matt Gaetz, Jack Posobiec, Jesse Kelly, Riley Gaines is going to join me next week. I'm going to do a legislative preview coming up as well from Capitol Hill. But today's show is a great show. I really am tackling how Barack Obama is running the country. So I've started a series on my podcast starting today where we're going to do a retrospective of Barack Obama, what he did in his 8 years, because a lot of people have forgotten he's laid the groundwork for what we're experiencing right now. This is his third term. He is running the show. And the reason we all need to know this and be aware of it now is because if they run Michelle, we've got to be armed with the political ammo to make sure she does not succeed. So that has begun on my podcast today. I've got Kevin Sorbo on the show as well today. And later in the week, Larry Elder.
It's a great lineup. I just very impressive. Folks, again, the Monica Crowley podcast, where you can get it wherever you get your podcast, but you got to get it and sign up for that today. Monica, always great hearing from you. Welcome back to America.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's always such a joy to be with you. Thank you. God bless.
All right. There you go, folks. Monica Crowley. I do want to go to Greece, though. Beautiful country. And Monica just had a great time over there. Folks, we've got to take a quick break and pay some bills. So Monica seems to think the candidate that we need to be wary of is Michelle Obama, which we've been saying for a very long time on this program. I think she's the dark horse candidate. An Obama Buttigieg or Buttigieg Obama ticket, I think that could be a pretty formidable opponent to the Republicans. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. There's some freaky stuff going down over at the library, and it's probably impacting your local library. If your local library belongs to the American Library Association, which is the largest and the oldest library association in the world. So the new president of the group, her name is Emily Drabinsky, and she is a Marxist lesbian feminazi. Ms. Drabinsky was elected to the American Library Association in April of 2022, and she is very passionate about Marxism. She posted an item which caused a bit of controversy. And by the way, a number of states have now disassociated with the American Library Association. She says, "I cannot believe that as a Marxist lesbian who believes that collective power is possible to build and can be wielded for a better world as the president-elect of the ALA Library," Drabinsky wrote in a tweet last year. "I am so excited for what we will do together. Solidarity. And my mom is so proud. I love you, Mom." I'm assuming that is her biological birth mother as opposed to the partner of the Marxist lesbian. That would be Mommy. So she's causing more controversy, Ms. Drabinsky, the Marxist lesbian. And here's what she has to say about socialism. Cut number four.
"Hi, I'm Emily, and I'm a librarian. I just wanted to say thank you so much. I just want to say thank you for bringing up libraries and classroom libraries, but also school libraries of all kinds, public libraries and higher education libraries, who have been under attack in similar ways. But I think your point that public education needs to be a site of socialist organizing, I think libraries really do too. And that hasn't, I haven't seen that."
Okay, stop. And guys, you got to let me know when the audio is not good. Let me explain what's happening here, because you can't understand a single thing that was just said there. The Library Association president went to a socialism conference and suggested that public education needs to be a site of socialist organizing. Now, this is not a surprise to anyone who's ever, ever listened to this radio program, because we've told you that these public school classrooms are becoming indoctrination centers spewing this socialist propaganda. And so here you have the president of the American Library Association actually acknowledging all of this is really going on. And she did so at a socialism conference. So, folks, you got to pay attention here to what's happening in your local public schools. Unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking to Coach Joe Kennedy back on the gridiron, and an exciting story. He's got a new book coming out, and we're going to be talking to him about that. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Now, we told you about some exciting news that happened over the weekend, Friday night football in Bremerton, Washington, and we have followed the story of Coach Joe Kennedy from day one. And this has been one of those exciting journeys that was 8 years in the process, going all the way back to 2015. When the coach was told that he had to stop praying after football games, the coach declined to do so. He eventually lost his job as a coach, but he stood his ground, and the Supreme Court, thanks to Donald John Trump, and the Supreme Court justices that he nominated, restored Coach Kennedy's and affirmed Coach Kennedy's constitutional rights. And he joins us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Coach, hope you're doing well today.
I am. I'm doing spectacular. Hope you're doing good too, Todd.
Coach, I am, and it was great to have you on Newsmax last night, and now talking to our radio audience. And last night was your first, or over the weekend was your first opportunity to go back to be on the field with the team as they started their season. And I want you to take us through what happened.
Wow. Yeah, it was pretty, I was pretty nervous leading up to it. There were so many unknowns, and it's been 8 years in the coming. But up to the last weeks, I've been doing the fall camp with my football players and the coaches. So I was just focused on it being just any other night, trying to just pretend like there was nothing going on except for the game. And pretty much it was an answered prayer. There wasn't the protesters I expected. It was a perfect crowd. And right after the game was over, which we won 7-12, and I went out to the 50-yard line after we congratulated the other team. And for the first time, I legally, and I do that in quotes, legally be able to say a prayer at a public school after a football game.
I mean, it's a fascinating story. And again, for so long in this country, it was legal for a coach to drop to a knee to protest America or protest the national anthem, but it was not legal for a coach to pray. And the Supreme Court in this landmark decision, and because you took a stand, now every coach in America is able to pray at a football game.
And that makes my heart smile. There were so many coaches just in our surrounding area, so I know it was quite literally around the United States that coaches were afraid to pray with their football teams. And that's been going on from the beginning of time. I wasn't the originator, obviously, of that. But as soon as the school fired me on it, that was a warning to all coaches. And I'm sure no coaches wanted to put up their job at, you know, as collateral for their faith. That's a horrible way to live.
Coach, I'm wondering what the reaction was, and what was that like going back into the locker room? And tell us about the reception you received from the coaches and the players.
The coaches was a little chilled at first. You can imagine, here's the new guy coming in. They didn't have any choice, but they had to take me back. And, yeah, whole new coaching staff. They have a new offense, a new defense. So it took a little bit of time. It took a couple weeks for us to even learn each other's names and the habits that we have. But they've warmed up quite a bit. The players, it was like a mystery to them. I only had a couple that would come up. They would all look at me, and they knew there was a story there, but a lot of them were too afraid to come up and talk. And as the 3 weeks went by for fall camp, I have more and more of them coming up to me and talking to me and saying, Coach, we were behind you 100%. Glad you're back. So it was just an answered prayer there.
And, of course, it's been a very long process. So I have to imagine some of the players have gone on and graduated. So this is a new crop of players.
Oh, yeah. These guys were in grade school when this was all going on. And a couple of them were some of my players is little baby brothers. So I have two that were little tiny kids, and now they're all grown up and on our team. So it's great to see these kids growing up.
Coach, what is, you know, looking back over the years, I'm curious to know the takeaway. What should we learn from what you've been through?
Well, if an average guy like me, high school football coach, if I could change a nation like that and make such a, you know, I hate to say historical moment, but if I could do this, imagine what we could do as a collective of Americans and standing up for our rights and being heard. If one guy could do it, imagine what we could do all together.
Now, Coach, I know that you have since moved. You and your wife live in Florida now, so you're back. Are you going to be there for the full season? Have you made that decision just yet?
Million-dollar question. We haven't made up our mind yet. We only thing we had focused was Friday night. That was our big thing that we've been looking forward to. So, you know, the Bible verse of 2 Timothy where it says, fight the good fight and finish the race and remain faithful. Well, that's what we were trying to do is just get to that finish line. So anything beyond that, we're just relying on God, and we're talking over as a family because my wife's father is still sick and not doing well, and he has so many health issues. We got a lot of praying to do and a lot of soul searching to see what's next for us.
Well, it's so exciting to see all of this and to be there from day one to where the Supreme Court made its decision and to Friday night. And I have to imagine that so many Christians around the nation are celebrating with you. And also, we have to give credit where credit is due to the great people over at First Liberty, because they really carried this ball all the way through.
Yeah, it was a tough fight, and you do know, because I think you were the first guy I ever talked to, a famous guy in my first interview. So yeah, we've been together for 8 years in this fight. The guys at First Liberty, I would have been lost. I would have been just trampled. The First Amendment would have been dead. Imagine that if there wasn't people that actually did this for a living to fight for each individual American and their constitutional rights.
Well, Coach, congratulations, and also congratulations on the big win. And we wish you guys nothing but the best this football season.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Todd. You're a godsend, man.
All right, Coach Joe Kennedy, everybody, a great American patriot. And, again, here's a guy who grew up, had a rough upbringing, joined the Marines, got himself straightened out, came to know the Lord, was watching a movie called Facing the Giants, a great faith-based football movie. And his takeaway from that movie was to go out to the 50-yard line after every football game, drop to a knee, and say a prayer. And again, it wasn't some sort of a Billy Graham crusade. It was, you know, a 5-10 second prayer. And as a result of that, the school district came in and said, you can't do that anymore. And coach, you're not even allowed to bow your head. Supreme Court came down 8 years later and said, oh, yes, he is. And that school district has to pay legal fees of almost $2 million as a result of violating the coach's constitutional rights. So I say good for you, Coach Kennedy. And again, this was a landmark decision, and that means it impacts every single coach in America. So congratulations, Coach Kennedy. This is a man who fought the good fight, and we ought to be celebrating that. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, a little bit of breaking news for you folks heading over to the airport. If you are flying United Airlines, you will not be going anywhere, at least not right now. The airline has issued a nationwide ground stop that's due to some sort of computer issue. This is coming from the Federal Aviation Administration. They said they are experiencing a system-wide technology issue. That's all they're saying. But here's the bottom line. If your plane is on the ground, it's not going anywhere. Flights currently in the air will continue to their destination as planned, and we're going to keep you updated. We don't know what the problem is. We don't know if they've got hacked, but whatever it is, it happened across their entire system, and United Airlines not doing well right now. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Anna in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind?
Michelle Obama, she said a while back that she had never liked America till we voted Obama in. And I don't think nobody like her would ever be a nominee for president of the United States.
Yeah.
And I want to hear about what happened to their cook that was in the water dead. What went on there with Obama? And how much money did he get when the Bidens got all this money from China, Russia, and Ukraine? And he was sending them over there, Obama was, and getting money the last part of his term. And how much money did Obama get, too?
Well, Anna, these are all great questions you're asking. And look, you are correct. Michelle Obama said that she had never been proud of her country until they nominated her husband to be president of the United States. So no, there's no doubt about that. There are a lot of questions about the chef. Now, the Obamas had a chef in the seaside mansion they own. Tafari Campbell was his name. He went paddleboarding, and somehow not only did he drown, but he was found naked. And Anna, I don't know too many people that go paddleboarding buck naked, but apparently this man did. And a lot of secrets. The police department there not revealing any information aside from the fact that it was Obama's protective detail within the Secret Service that actually called for help. And that does make you wonder what was going on there.
Was Obama involved in it? I wouldn't put nothing past Obama either.
Well, there you go. It's a fine question you ask, and it's one that deserves an answer. Anna, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Maria in Hendersonville, North Carolina. WHKP, our great station there. Hi, Maria. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling about the Joe Biden COVID case, and I didn't Now, if anyone else had called in and connected these two dots here, I was listening to your program last week, and a nurse from a hospital in Florida had called in and said that she works in anesthesia recovery and that the department director or the head of department or some position had called a meeting and informed them that because of COVID that would be reoccurring this week, they were going to be using half of the beds or a large part of the beds in the anesthesia recovering unit for the anticipated COVID patients. So right on cue, Jill Biden has COVID this week, as was predicted last week, COVID would return.
Yeah, that is, yes, you are correct there, Maria. And just to put a little bow on what you just shared with us, I want to play some audio. This is the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, just a few moments ago. Here's what she told the nation.
President Biden tested negative last night for COVID-19 and tested negative again today. He's not experiencing any symptoms. As far as the steps he is taking, since the president was with the First Lady yesterday, he will be masking while indoors and around people in alignment with CDC guidance. And he, as has been the practice in the past, the president will remove his mask when sufficiently distanced from others indoors and while outside as well.
So the president's going to start masking up this week, Maria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Connect another few more dots. Yeah, he's got a mask up, and then the rest of the country's got a mask up, and all this scare so that you don't go out and vote in person, mail in your ballots, and more thousands of ballots show up again on that side of the ballot.
There you go. Maria, you are a wise woman, and you are quite astute. By the way, just remember, we're going to play some audio here. This is President Biden. Reminding us over and over and over again that he was the guy that was going to stop the China virus.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
I'm going to shut down the virus. I'll shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
What I would say is I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
There you go. He's going to shut down the virus. He didn't shut down the virus. Just want to throw that out there for you. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, I've got to share this item with you from California. Our good friend Jack Hibbs, he's the pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. He's in a bit of hot water with the liberals, and it's all for a good reason. So the California Attorney General, a guy by the name of Rob Bonta, is now suing the Chino Valley Unified School District. Now, the state is upset over the school board's mandatory gender identity disclosure policy. Now, here's how this works. Let's say you have a daughter named Susie, and little Susie goes to school where she takes off her dress and puts on some pants and identifies as Billy. Well, under the current policy, the teacher is required to notify Susie's mom and dad. In other words, this is a pretty common sense rule, right? And many of you may be wondering, well, wait a second. This is California. What do they know about common sense? Well, it turns out the school board got a lot of new conservative board members, and three of them actually go to Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills. And the attorney general is now saying that parents in California do not have a right to know that sort of information. So if your child is transgender, it's okay for the school to know about it. But the attorney general says the school does not have a responsibility to tell you as a mom or a dad. And they say that if a school calls you and says, hey, Susie's a lesbian or Susie's transgender, well, that's unconstitutional and discriminatory. Are you believing any of that? I mean, seriously. So the school, the attorney general is now suing the Chino Valley Unified School District. Now, Pastor Hibbs says the rule is about parental rights and bringing transparency back into the classroom. So first of all, good for you, Pastor Hibbs. Second of all, good for you church members who went out there and ran for school board and won your race. And we'll see how this plays out, but a lot of radical gays and lesbians are very upset, very upset. And they say parents do not have a constitutional right to know if their daughter or son is transgender. And they're going to be fighting this. This is going to be fascinating because we are now watching parental rights on trial in the state of California. So I'm curious, moms and dads, would you want to know if your child was transgender? Would you want to know, does the school have a responsibility to let you know if your child is mixing around the pronouns? We're going to talk about that in the next hour. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I've been following this crazy story out of Nevada. Have you been following the Burning Man Festival where, what, thousands of people are stranded? Because apparently it rained out there, and now everything's turned to mud, and you've got 70,000 people that have been stuck in the Black Rock Desert. And, of course, the Burning Man. Now, I'm not too sure anybody's really upset about this, because Ben Dieter, and, of course, you are our culture expert here on the Todd Starnes radio program, it just seems to me all they do is smoke marijuana out there and drink booze.
And not shower for months.
So, right. So I don't think there's really, I don't think anything has changed here as a result of the flooding and the mud.
This is good. This reminds me of something that you would read in Revelation. It's got to be the end times.
You think so?
I do.
So the festival goers are very, or the festival organizers are very concerned about all this. And they're urging people to create what they call poop buckets. This is how bad it's gotten.
Well, there's no bathroom facilities, and
no, it's the middle of the desert.
Exactly. Which, what were they doing before is my question. And it's so, the bare elements.
So according to, they're called, the people who attend are called burners in more ways than one, but that's what they call them, burners. And they're supposed to bring a poop bucket if they're going to the festival. Now, Ben, I've been to a concert a time or two. I've never been to one that would require me to bring a poop bucket.
No.
And by the way, it's not just a bucket. It's a 5-gallon bucket with a lid and liners.
They're there for a long time, Todd.
A long time. It's true. It's true. Attendees are also urged to bring a portable shower, waterproof protective bags, a battery or solar-powered radio, and warm clothing. Because it gets cold out there in the day, maybe 100 degrees in the daytime, but it could drop to about 50 degrees at night. Could you imagine the odor? I mean, it isn't even, I know some people brought their RVs, but could you imagine the smell in that desert right now? You know, all these tree huggers, they're so concerned about our gasoline powered vehicles. I would encourage them to go stand downwind of Burning Man.
Well, it's already bad because they don't shower. They have to bring their poop buckets. But then with this terrible storm, I've seen photos of inside the tent. You're unlucky if you were one of the tent people. Ugh. If you got the RV, that's nice. It had like 3 feet of just straight mud, and they had to sleep in there.
You hope it's mud. It could have been this passenger from the Delta Airlines flight. This is a story from the New York Post. A Delta flight forced into emergency landing by a passenger's diarrhea. What is going on in the airline? This is crazy. So passengers on board a flight from Atlanta to Barcelona had to turn around. They had to make an emergency landing after, and I do quote Ben Dieter, a passenger had diarrhea all the way through the plane. How does that happen?
Describe, Todd, did they say what it means to be all throughout the plane? Like, how does one simply diarrhea all throughout a plane?
Unless the passenger was just running up and down the or the passenger could have been trying to hold it. You know how it is. You know, you got to go to the bathroom, but you got to hold it because, you know, they haven't turned off the seatbelt sign yet. So you're like eyeballing the sign. But if you've got explosive diarrhea, I mean, it could have been like the person was sitting on an active volcano and it just erupted and, you know, poof, everybody gets splattered.
Oh,
I don't know.
Todd, people are eating right now.
Not anymore.
So was he in first class? That's my question. Did he run to the back of the plane?
I'm fairly certain that didn't happen. No. The New York Post calls it a fecal fiasco. That's very clever. The pilot, according to air traffic control, said, quote, this is a biohazard. Quote, we've had a passenger who's had diarrhea all the way through the airplane. So they want us to come back to Atlanta. You know, if I'd have been the pilot, I would have already been heading back. That's a negative Delta. We can, no, you better clear a path. We're coming in.
So what did they do with the plane? What does one do with a poopy plane like that?
I would have burned it. Just go ahead. Just park it. It's over.
From ashes to ashes.
But there's another story here. I ask, what is going on in the nation's airlines where it was a Canadian airline and they forced passengers? Where is this story? They forced passengers to sit in seats where someone had puked. It's disgusting.
I see. That's just unbelievable to me. I mean, you let everybody off the plane and you give them vouchers for the rest of the year in this case. I mean, can you imagine?
Do you get extra biscotti? I mean, what is the biscotti there?
The cookies?
The hard cookies. Yeah, they don't give out peanuts anymore because, you know, we're a weak society. You know, back in the day, all the peanut allergies, you know, and everything. It didn't matter. You got your peanuts on the plane, but now they don't do that.
Here's the deal. There's a rule of thumb. Whether you're in a car traveling with your family on family vacation and you're 1 mile away from the rest area, I don't care what you have to do, you hold it. There was a day, Todd, when people could hold this stuff. I don't care if you pop a blood vessel in your eye, you make it to the bathroom.
You know why? Because dads... That's why dads would say, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold it. We're not stopping. Right on the road trips, Dad would never stop. So you
learned to hold.
You learned. That's right. You learned.
So what happened?
I guess somebody didn't learn.
Everybody in a diaper. Everybody's in Pampers
this
these days.
This is terrible. This is disgusting. Delta Flight 194. I want to know what plane this is. I want to make sure I'm not on it. I'm telling you, I'd rather just drive from now on, Ben Dieter. All of our speaking engagements, I'm just driving.
Okay.
I'd rather take my chances at Bucky's. And the bathrooms are a lot cleaner. Have you been inside a Bucky's bathroom?
I've heard they're very nice. I've not been inside.
It's like the Taj Mahal of toilets. I've never seen anything like it. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. All that to say, don't fly. Drive. That's what I'm telling you. Speaking of driving, Dieter, this is fascinating. One out of five electric car buyers has returned to a gas-powered car.
What?
Yeah. Brand new study, and this is from Nature magazine, they talked to people in California who bought these electric cars between 2012 and 2018. 20% of those who opted for the plug-in cars have returned to gas.
Do they have good return policy, I guess, is the question. Are they getting their money back, or are they just trading in their vehicles and getting...
So, look, I have been raising this issue from day one, and people thought I was off my rocker. But here's the reason why. This is the reason why people are returning their EV cars, because they are dissatisfied with the convenience of charging.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's say you run out of gas, you go over to the Buc-ee's and you're filling up the car. 5-10 minutes later, you're back out on the road and you have some delicious brisket sandwiches to munch on.
Yep.
If you are an EV driver and your car's on empty, your battery's on empty, it's going to take you, what, 24, 48 hours? Nobody's got that kind of time.
Mm-hmm. They have beautiful classical and some jazz at those fill-up stations, though, the electric stations. I had a friend that had one, and we would have to do that. But they serenade you with, like, Beethoven, Mendelssohn, Bach. It's all those people.
I think that's to drive off the would-be carjackers.
And then secondly, let's face it, half these states, Todd, don't have the infrastructure. I mean, look at Tennessee. What, we have 3 charging stations in this entire state.
I actually park in one of them over at the Whole Foods.
And then there's people like Todd.
I pretend.
There's 2.
I open up my gas tank and I just stick it in there. I know that's really inappropriate, but it's a great parking spot and it's not handicapped. So,
Oh, right. My God.
The handicapped people, they really got screwed by the charging stations, right? Because they took over all the handicapped spots. Mm-hmm. Now the handicapped people, they got to park with the regular folks.
It's true.
Not that you're not regular, but you know what I'm talking about.
Handicapped.
The non-handicapped people.
You're canceled.
Did I just get canceled? Mm-hmm. Doggone it. But you know what I mean. It's Todd, like they've got to park with everybody else now.
Yeah, all lives do not matter in this society.
No, only the tree huggers.
Only the eco-friendly lives matter.
Thank you, eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. Eco-sexuals.
Green lives matter.
It reminds me of, well, I'm not going to talk about that. The eco-sexuals. This story from Ireland, we're kind of doing a little hodgepodge here, ladies and gentlemen, on this day after the long holiday weekend. This is the headline from Fox News. Irish parents take action on smartphones amid soaring concerns over children's mental health. So parents in this town right outside of Dublin, they got together and they decided to ban smartphones for their kids. So no, if you're in grade school, you're not allowed to have a smartphone. And they say something very interesting happened. The kids were no longer anxious. The kids were no longer depressed. And suddenly they started having conversations with their classmates.
Hmm.
So other towns are now starting to consider, I think this is a great idea. And I've never did understand why a child needed access to like smartphones and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. I just didn't understand that. Why would you want to do that? So anyway, according to the study here, and they did a study, the report found students perform better academically once the smartphones were removed from the schools. They say that smartphones provided distraction, disruption, bullying, and abuse, and can be detrimental to learning. They also suggested that teachers consider restricting or prohibiting mobile phones to reduce those risks. I think this is brilliant. You know, Ben, back when I was in school, there was a phone, but it was in the front office. And so if you needed to call your mom, you had to get a pass and you had to go to the front office and you made a call. But now,
the kids can call their parents.
And in the classroom, the poor teacher's up there trying to educate the urchins, and you got the kids yammering on the phone. And then when you complain about it, the teachers complain about it to the parents. Well, my little Buffy needs a cell phone. What if there's an emergency and they have to call? Well, they can go to the office.
Well, not only that, the kids, if they get into a little argument with the teacher, they just pull out their phone and start recording them.
Oh, that's true. They do.
And end up going viral.
The teacher smacked me. Okay, and back in the day, this is how this conversation would have gone. Mommy, mommy, the teacher smacked me. Well, what did you do to deserve to be smacked? Right? Typically, a teacher is not going to go up and smack you unless you've really done something bad.
Real quick on this, did you guys have because for me, I used a cell phone, but I used it not for Snapchat. I used it for a calculator. I needed a calculator in the fourth grade, so I needed a cell phone in the fourth grade. Did you have a cell? Did you have a calculator in the fourth grade? What'd you do?
No. We had to do it the old-fashioned way. We had to use our fingers.
Oh.
Or we had the old Chinese abacus. We were old school.
I'm Googling.
We barely had air conditioning. It's true. But you know what? My generation, we know how to make change at Walmart.
The low bar, but you know how. It's true.
By the way, I was at a restaurant, and I will say the name of the restaurant in Memphis. It's one of my favorite restaurants. It's called Houston's. Houston's is owned by a much larger conglomerate known as Hillstone, and they actually have a restaurant in New York City, which I love to eat at, and it would be like a weekly, I would have dinner there. So I'm heading over to Houston's in Memphis, and I notice a big sign in front of Houston's. And they are now, they've announced that they will no longer accept cash. So if you walk in and you're going to pay your bill with cash, they're not going to take your money. You have to pay by credit card or a charge card. And I thought that was interesting because as I was driving down the street, I passed the Crystal Burger, which is kind of like a hamburger place, kind of sliders, much like a White Castle. And Crystal is announcing that they're not going to be taking cash anymore. They're going to do credit card only. And if you don't have a card, well, you're not going to eat a Crystal Burger, also known as a Gut Buster. So I'm just curious if that's happening in your communities where more and more restaurants and businesses are saying, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to be taking cash anymore. That's it. And maybe it's out of convenience. Maybe people are afraid of getting robbed. As a matter of fact, on that note, there was a grocery store chain in Washington, D.C., and they've announced they will no longer be selling name brand products. So if you want like Tide laundry detergent or Colgate toothpaste, you will not be able to buy it at this grocery store. And the reason why is because the shoplifters are stealing the name brand stuff. They don't want to get the cheap stuff. They're going for the name brands. It's fascinating. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Todd, that desert party you were talking about where they're pooping in poop buckets, what does that remind you of? Woodstock. It's a Woodstock all over again.
Well, there you go. Thank you. That's Mark from Florida. And by the way, Mark left us a shout out, and you can do that if you download our free app. You can do that at KWAM Radio, KWAMRadio.com, and you can leave us a recording, and we just might very well play yours back like we just did for Mark. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones here. Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Good to be on the show with you guys again. I always enjoy it. I know I'm off topic, but I was thinking about this Adam Schiff and the Schiff doctrine, I guess, the 14th Amendment saying that Donald Trump is not eligible to serve as president because he participated in an insurrection. There's no trial or nothing is required for that 14th Amendment by his standards. And I was thinking about this Gloria Johnson that announced today that she's running for Senate against Marsha Blackburn. And the media has said, and basically she was removed from office initially for participating in the insurrection in the Capitol building in Nashville. By his standards, Schiff's standards, wouldn't she be disqualified as well, or shouldn't she be?
Well, I guess so, but we really aren't talking about that. I really want to kind of stay on focus here on the topic at hand. But, Bill, give us a call back on Friday when we do Open Line Friday, and we can certainly talk about that. But I appreciate the call, and we will So, anyway, we got to take a break here, folks. And, again, what we try to do is we try to stay focused on the topic, folks. So, but if you do want to jump off a topic, wait until Friday when we do open lines. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
God gave me a word long before this, but he's been holding it. Because it's not about them. This is about us. This has nothing to do with the team that's opposing us. This is about us. This ain't got nothing to do with the naysayers, the unbelievers, the haters, the doubters. This is about us. When we started this journey, we told you it was going to be trying, it was going to be tough, but you endured. Because it's about us. That man next to you is a miracle. That man next to you is a believer. That man next to you is a go-getter. That man next to you is a dog. That man next to you is somebody who wants this thing. That man next to you is somebody who believes. That man next to you is somebody that got to have it today. We ain't got tomorrow. We got now. We ain't got next. We got now. We ain't coming no more. Give me my theme music.
All right, that's how I feel about this talk show every single day. You know, forget about everybody else noon to three. We're here right now. I kind of feel like Deion Sanders. What? Wow, can you imagine having a coach like that? I mean, this guy came out there and he said, here's what we're going to do. This is the playbook. This is how I'm going to run this team. This is how I'm going to coach this team. Sanders goes out there. Everybody in the sports world is laughing at this guy. Well, nobody's laughing today because Sanders, in his first year over at Colorado, the Buffaloes just beating up on TCU. And by the way, Texas Christian, shame on some of you people, acting very unchristlike at the stands. At that game. But I'm going to tell you, they came in and knocked off number 17 TCU over the weekend on the road. This was a team last year that they won one game. One game. Sanders comes in and just cleans house, brings in this vision, and this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch Colorado this football season. By the way, Dylan Dandridge, I will say this, the Associated Press coming out with their top 10 list, very happy to see a number of Southeastern Conference teams listed among those, including number one, Georgia.
Understandable.
And you've got number three, which would be, is it three or four? Well, you've got Alabama.
I think Alabama's four now. They might have moved up to three.
And my Tennessee Volunteers.
Yep. They're up there.
Mm-hmm. Not too shabby.
A lot of good competition down here.
A lot of good teams. It's going to be a fun, fun season. Of course, the coaches' poll coming out. Wait a second. There was one other SEC team. Was it Ole Miss? No. Was it? Is South Carolina.
Top 25.
It's South Carolina.
They lost. So they're probably out of it.
No, Ohio State's number four, Alabama number three, and Tennessee number nine. Love that orange. It looks beautiful. I'm just telling you, it's a trademarked orange.
I'm excited to watch Colorado, too, by the way. Deion Sanders is great. He's so cool.
He's great. Now, he was down at Jackson State?
Yeah, Jackson State.
In Mississippi, and did a pretty good job there. I mean, it was a really good job.
Yeah.
Turned around that program, and now he's at Colorado.
And his son is the quarterback.
Is that right? I did not know that. I want to know what his theme song is, though. Everybody, that's the big question on social media. What is the theme song?
We need to find it out and play it on this show, too.
Well, you heard three bars of it there.
Right.
And I can't figure out what it is.
It does seem very hype. That's something that the football players probably really needed.
All right. So I just may holler out, where's my theme music? And we got the American ride going. All right. Very good. Thank you, Dylan. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun this college football season. Folks, there's nothing like college football as it is now. But let's just hope they don't ruin it. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Pete in Iowa. Hi, Pete. What's on your mind today?
Hey, great show. You mentioned about Michelle Obama running.
Oh, yeah.
I heard there's going to be even more scoop is that Oprah will be our vice president.
Are you serious? Wait, are you serious, Pete?
Hey, we're scooping the Babylon Bee here.
What? Oprah?
And then they're going to do a Biden, like the Grand Canyon. They're going to make Hawaii a national park.
The Grand Canyon,
a week or so ago that O'Biden gave, it was 917,000, almost a million acres, the Grand Canyon was expanded. So what they're going to do is Oprah and Obama will make Hawaii a national park, and then to save the fuel, they'll have the Western White House in Hawaii, and there'll only be government officials being able to live on the national park in Hawaii.
Wow.
That way they won't have to go all the way to Washington.
So you came up with this yourself, Pete?
Yeah, I did. I didn't see your show yesterday, so it sort of made me loopy.
Clearly. Just a smidge. All right, Pete. Thank you for calling in. Wow. By the way, good news, United Airlines people. The ground stop is over, so they had a computer issue. Did somebody just unplug the computer? Is that what happened? Had to reboot? Anyway, good news for all you folks stuck up on the airplanes here. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. So there's a woman, and Diener, was this on TikTok? Is this where this happened, where a woman just turned 30 years old and cannot find any good single Christian men anywhere?
She's in her dirty 30s. Except she's not very dirty because she's a Christian.
Dirty 30s?
Is that what they call them?
Is that a thing now?
The dirty 30s.
All right, cut number one.
Genuine question, where are all the single Christian men? Because they're not in church. Where are they? They're not in Home Depot. They're not in the grocery store. They're not in Target. Like, where are these men? This is not a drill. I just turned 30. If you know any Christian single men that also happen to look like Tom Cruise, do out this video. I'm just kidding. They don't have to look like Tom Cruise. I also like Jake Gyllenhaal. Anyways, happy Labor Day.
Ugh. God bless Gyllenhaal. America. Ugh. Put her on the prayer list. Oh, you know who's 30 and kind of looks like Elvis is our managing editor, Caleb Park.
Maybe we connect Caleb and this woman.
We'd be like Christian Mingle. Right? Is that one of the dating websites?
That, and there's a couple of them. I know there's a Trump dating app as well. If you like Trump, you can connect with other Trump supporters.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge thing, and it's pretty popular.
What? No, you're...
The ties that binds, and that tie is Trump.
America first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. So, this is curious, though. It sounds like she's having a hard time finding guys. So are men no longer going to church? Is that the problem here?
Listen, we did a show together on Friday at a diner, and we had one of our listeners come up to me after the taping, Todd, and she asked if we could do a cocktail hour. And the reason is she said that's the only reason she can meet great guys. With a cocktail. And I said, okay, we can do that. And she said, but here's the problem. They need to be Christian. They need to be educated, conservative, and handsome. There's too many boxes. Stick with one, maybe two. You can't have all these boxes.
So it's kind of like Christian Mingle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we could do something like that. This worked out very badly for Caleb many years ago when we were back at Fox, and a lady called in, and she was living on a farm. No, her daughter was a farmer, a dairy farmer, and the daughter was single, and she really felt like that her daughter would be a good match for Caleb. So it didn't work out. I didn't inquire. I didn't want to, none of my business.
Not the Lord's will.
No, clearly not. So, but she knew her way around a dairy cow. There you go. But again, I mean, maybe there's a story here is that guys are not going to church anymore. But it seems to, you know, and maybe we should open this up to the ladies, all the single ladies out there. Where do you find your guy? Where do you find your mister? Is it down at the Home Depot?
Why did she say the Home Depot?
Well, because that's where guys would go. I mean, it seems to me if you're a woman, you would want a guy who knows his way around a Home Depot as opposed to, I don't know,
a Hobby Lobby. Or a Whole Foods. There you go.
Whole Foods. Yeah, right? I'm seriously, because, you know, if you're a guy and you're at the hardware store, there's a pretty good chance you know how to fix something.
Well, I mean, if she's looking for a Christian, godly young man, don't you kind of have to pitch the looks? I not that you can't be a good-looking Christian man.
Christian men ugly? Is that what you're saying?
But the priority is Jesus, and if Jesus is in the man, it doesn't matter if he's a two.
Oh, my word.
In the words of President Trump, we write these people.
Is that in the New Testament? We look that up.
All right, James 4.
I got to take a break. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Wow, this is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, what's this Christian tingle you're talking about here? Doesn't sound very Christian to me, but okay, you go for it.
No, no, Ed, that's not Christian tingle. It's Christian mingle. Jeez, Lou. We've lost control of the program once again, ladies and gentlemen. But, Ed, thank you for that. Thank you for that contribution today. We really appreciate it. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, an interesting note about summertime, which has now concluded, hence Labor Day. A brand new study out showing that Disney actually had lower attendance at all of their theme parks. And it goes right back to what we preach about on this radio program. When you go woke, you go broke. And that includes Disney. But it's a crazy thing. And a lot of these companies don't want to acknowledge that. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have our good friend, Art Alley, with us. He is founder of Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is the website. That's TimothyPlan.com. Art, are you surprised that people have decided, you know what, it's not worth it to take the family to go to Disney?
Oh, man, I think we're finally starting to wake up a little bit, you know, and the families on Disney, which we have never owned. I mean, they have always been woke, and they have always been violating probably every one of our screens. Lovely park, and it's a shame they do that. But if you go to that park in the month of June, they dedicate the entire park to the LGBTQ++ community. And, you know, parents planning their vacation with their kids end up in the middle of some very pornographic, horrible stuff that shouldn't be happening out in public. So Disney, you know, it's almost become their culture. But there are so many other companies that do the same thing. You know, Target. They paid a price for their commitment to, transgender stuff and Satanism and all that. But the point that really hit me, you know, a lot of people have stopped shopping at Target. You know, I don't buy Bud Light anymore. Of course, I never did. But, you know, they don't know their market, and they're going to this woke stuff. And to go woke, go broke is what you said, and it is so true. However, you may not shop at Target. You may not go to Disney. But if you look at your investment program, you probably own stock in Target and Disney and not even aware of it. My suggestion, give us a call. We can make you aware of it because we know the holdings of every mutual fund in existence. And they may be a little invisible to you, but not to us. We can we do the hard lifting. We can tell you that. Call our office. We'll be glad to do that. No charge.
TimothyPlan.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. That's TimothyPlan.com. And it's really about rethinking the way you think about investing. And they've been doing this for more than 20 years and have been incredibly, incredibly successful. And Art, you guys have just a wealth of information for folks, not only on the website, but as you mentioned, folks can pick up the phone and they can give you guys a call as well.
Absolutely. We've got more tools than we have time to talk about. And that's the mission God has given us. And, you know, it is, we take it very seriously, and we've got a great team. And, you know, if you call us, and I think I mentioned this before, you have a human being pick up the phone, not a computer. And they will connect you with another human being who can answer all of your questions. If we ever have computers answering the phone, Todd, you'll know that Art Alley is in heaven, because that ain't happening on my watch.
I love it. I love it. Folks, the telephone number is 1-800-846-7526. That's 1-800-846-7526. And Art, I'm curious, you know, what is maybe the one question that you guys get the most from people that are wanting to partner with Timothy Plan?
Well, a lot of the questions now, people are waking up to this ESG agenda. And it is amazing that they're really getting educated and finding out how evil and what the real agenda of the ESG, environmental, social, governance, which all sounds fine, but it is promoting a socialistic, anti-capitalistic agenda that is really hurting corporations. And that's probably most recently the biggest question we have. Are you guys ESG? And our answer is absolutely not. It's an agenda that the left, I can't even call them the left, the dark side, they are expert at wordsmithing. They can use words that sound so good, but let me suggest that everybody listening do a little research and see what those words really mean and what their agenda really is. We have been duped for way too long. And, you know, Todd, I don't want to get into a long dissertation, but deception is an interesting human condition, because when you are deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Because if you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. I'll let that sink in for a minute.
Art, it's you speak a lot of truth. And folks, there's so much of that at timothyplan.com. I want to encourage you in our final seconds together, folks, to go check it out, timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. Or give Art a call, one of his team members, 1-800-846-7526. That's 1-800-846-7526. And find out how they can help you and really rethink the way you do investing. Art, we got to run. That's our music, and it's great hearing from you, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Always a joy, man. Thank you. God
bless. All right. Good man right there, folks. Art Alley from Timothy Plan. Hey, folks, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. We have lots of great stories, other great content for you to enjoy. You get out there. Have a great Tuesday. You be good, America.